with Canola Mill replacing the soybean mills, the gas emission was eliminated. Studies showing up to 27% of the inclusion of canola meal in the dry feed intake, dry matter intake, methane output reduced by 5 to 11%.
Wow.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Kemin invites you to optimize animal feed quality and safety with our portfolio of solutions. Learn more at kemin.com/AG. Evonik, we are sciencing the global food challenge.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Feed Science Podcast brought to you by Wise Genetics. I am Carlos Campabadal from Kansas State University, dedicated to bringing you the latest insights and discussions in the feed science industry. Get ready to expand your knowledge and stay ahead of today's episode. So today we have Dr. Charles Chin from Manitoba, Canada, today as our guest. And Dr. Chin, welcome. I'm very happy to have you here and learn a lot about your knowledge and your interests and all your work. So please, as an introduction, can you please share a little bit of your background, who you are, what you have done, and your current work status?
My great pleasure to be with you, Carlos. I got my education in China at Northwest Agriculture University. Actually, my major was in genetics and breeding. And fortunate enough, when I graduated and took the faculty positions, the school has a special program to training the young teachers, have the hands-on experience. They called extension stations. I was sent there for 3 years, starting working, making feeds manually and feeding the pigs and layers manually. Since then, back to 90s, I started working in this area until now. I taught in the school until 2000 and doing research in States 4 years. Later, moved to Canada and look after hog farms, 600 farm to finish. And years later, I joined a feed company, become professional nutritionist, monogastric nutritionist. 10 years later, I became alone as an independent nutritionist.
Now,
on that position, 8 years, I pretty much enjoy working with feed industry professionals, veterinarians, nutritionists, especially with farmers. I consider myself as a farmer as well. Once a while, I went to the farm, smell the bar, taste the feed, adjust the water flow. I check the ventilations. It's fun. I still enjoy it.
Great. Well, I'm very happy to hear you. I could see that you have this enthusiasm for growing animals and nutrition and feed. And of course, that's what we're here for, to learn about people like you. And this is great. And for our audience here, please like us. Please share a thumbs up if you like our podcast. And I hope everybody on our audience will enjoy it. So, Dr. Chin, it seems that you have a very good experience from your academic background there in China, focusing on swine, and then, of course, in Canada, in the industry, and now as a independent consultant, which is, I will tell you, from my perspective, it takes a lot of, let's say, guts to go independent, because, you know, there's always that doubt of what is going to happen. But so I always admire people that do that. I work in university. I also do consulting, but I always have my university job here. So this is great. So to learn a little bit about what you have done, as I understand, you have expertise in nutrition, of course, and you have looked into using a lot of canola as a feed ingredient, canola meal as a feed ingredient in swine nutrition and other monogastric diets. So let's start talking about that. Just share us a little bit of your experience with canola meal, and then tell us what you think about it. Because at least in some other regions of our audience, like United States, Latin America, overall, and other parts of the world, canola is known, but not as used like people use it in Canada. So let's start our conversation, learning a little bit about your experience with it.
Great. I last 8 years, my major energy spent on the canola meal. I get involved to develop the canola meal feeding guide. Every 4 years, we update that guide. Two versions has been published in different languages, including English, Spanish, Mandarin, and Vietnamese. We just published the Vietnamese version this April. In the meantime, Mandarin version has been the second version already. Yeah, canola meal becomes alternative proteins, not only just in North America and also in South Asia as well. Those countries who short in protein supplies because land mass, populated population, and also with the demand of increasing feed production and animal protein consumptions. For now, canola, we use canola this world, is just try to distinguish with the conventional rapeseed. Rapeseeds is the canola is offspring of the rapeseeds, but the breeders feature them good quality with two things. One is uric acid, which is lower than 2% in the oil.
Okay.
Another feature is low in glucosinates in the meal, less than 30 micromole per gram. And the conventional rapeseed meal usually has higher uric acid, which give your paste a bitter taste in the oil, and glucosinate, which is over 60 micromole per gram. And also, as a nutritional, adding nutritional factors to impair feed intake and their metabolites, which doing the harms to the gut health and impair, slow down the growth, and also with other negative impacts on the animals.
Wow. Well,
canola, it was developed, yeah, in the 1970s by 70. Okay. Two plant scientists in Canada, which they branded it with can low oil, which come as the abbreviation of canola.
Wow. And you know, as you're speaking, I'm actually taking notes because I'm learning. And because, of course, as a reference, you know, here in the Midwest, as you probably know, in the United States and other parts of Latin America, we use soybean meal more as the main protein source for any type of feed diets. And so, of course, canola being one that, at least for some of us, we don't know, very important. But as a reference, in Western Kansas, because a little bit drier conditions, and there's also the push to go back and grow back again canola. So we're very interested in to learn more about that. And for our audience, please comment if you have any questions. We have an expert on canola meal here, and for monogastric nutrition, Dr. Ching. So please leave us any questions there in the comment section. So Dr. Ching, please continue telling us all this great information about on the can oil, low oil, which I didn't know, and that's fantastic.
Yeah, Canada becomes the leader of canola productions because if a few people and the massive land mass, they are able to, and they are affordable to produce the canola. 32% of total production happens in Canada, and export market in terms of seeds, meal, and oil, Canada plays about average 65% of world trade.
Wow.
And in currently, annually, they produce 20 million tons of the seeds, and over 90% has to be export to the international market. So in meal side, Canadian annually produce is around 7 million tons of the canola meal. until 2025. Currently, 50 million tons of canola meal export to the national market. 3.5 million tons goes to states, and 1.8 million tons goes to China.
Okay.
The rest of the world takes a small portion of the meal as the import.
Oh, the meal. Okay.
It's become more and more acceptable feeding grade in the international market. The reason why the major export goes to United States just because our states' dairy farmers realize the value of canola meal. Most of them, they feed in the dairy cows. The top 10 states, okay. They almost every farms, they're trying to use more canola meal rather than soybean meal. They try to capture the values of canola meal.
Okay. Can you go a little bit more in detail why those farmers will tend to use more canola compared to soybean meal?
First, we back to the basic. Canola meal, the nutritional profiles are feeding better to dairy cows. Looking into the amino acid compositions, is close. The ratios amino acids close to milk. The milk amino acid composition is close enough to the canola meal, which means the animal can utilize amino acids more efficient to produce in the milk. Second is the protein bypass, rumen bypass proteins is underestimated by NRC. And now the system is able to recognize the value. Similar quality of the canola meal offering similar amounts of bypass proteins as soybean meal, but which if we use soybean meals, we pay a little bit higher on the price.
Of course, yeah, especially you.
So for formulation, you can see the savings on the formulation or TMR diets. The third thing is if we observe, we can see canola meal replace the soybean meals, we can see the milk yield improved.
Okay.
Dry matter intake increased, milk yield increased. Out of 28 studies I collected worldwide, tried to compare the soybean meal, corn seed meal, distillers, conventional rapeseed meals, and wheat distillers. Normally, out of 28, two studies showing milk yield decreased.
Oh, okay.
Three of the studies showing not much significant change. The rest of the studies all showing increased milk yield a certain way. Take the average worldwide. So canola meal replaced soybean meal in dairy diets. We can see average 1 liter or 1 kg milk per day per cow.
Oh, okay.
And that's the production yield we can see improved. Another benefit we can see is sustainability. With canola meal replacing the soybean meals, the gas emission was eliminated. Studies showing up to 27% of the inclusion of canola meal in the dry feed intake, dry matter intake, methane output reduced by 5 to 11%.
Wow. Okay.
That's we can. I conclude for this canola meal in dairy. That's why our American dairy farmers, they pick up the value, realize the benefits.
And that is very important as we move along with feed ingredients overall in general and how to make our industry of animal production, feed production more sustainable. We need to look for all these opportunities. Just a quick question here. What is your take? And we talked a little bit about U.S. farmers, dairy farmers taking more canola because of all this explanation that you mentioned. But how about on the monogastric side? When you compare, let's say, soybean meal against canola meal in, let's say, for example, swine?
Yeah, if we're talking about the swine, people always concern about the palatability. because the glucose needs is always the concern as the nutritional, adding nutritional factors in the old days. Most of time, I observe the nutrition haven't update their database, especially the difference between conventional seeds and canola. That is create lots of troubles to communicate. The mindset, we get an education 20, 30 years ago, the rapeseed is better test. Feed intake was impaired, and health always become a concern. And today, glucosinate from Canada or from canola seeds, even in the rest of the world, especially in some countries like Australia, they also produce canola.
That's right.
Very low glucosinate levels in the meal. Take the average 3.2 micromole per grams, and compared to 60 micromole per grams that we got 20 years ago, you can see the palatability wasn't a problem at all.
Okay.
And the animal, the tolerance, even we have 100% protein from a canola meal, the glucosinate tolerance still keeping the range. Won't be an issue to impair feed intakes. So for swine, recent studies from Illinois, from South Dakota University, from University of Manitoba, showing the benefit is going to be the not growing finisher pigs, surprisingly, but for the sows and the nursery pigs. We can even have the canola meal high at 30% in the nursery pigs in the lactation period to keeping the sow health and performance. Observed the latest weight of the litter is improved, especially if we had canola meal in the gestation period, the winning weight is heavier than soybean meal diets, even you have the 30% inclusion. But we have considered canola meal has a higher fiber content, which comes over 10%. We can take the benefit from ASPs combined with carbohydrates or multi-carbohydrates enzymes to deliver the benefits. We can use that NSPs as prebiotics to maintain the gut health. That's the reason we observe the winning weight is heavier than soybean meals.
Wow, no, this is great information. I personally am learning a lot. I mean, canola is not one of my strongest feed ingredients, of course, but it is something going on. And I do believe that with all the trend around the world to utilize more biodiesel, you know, different oil seeds like canola, soybeans, you know, we definitely going to be seeing more of other ones and increase our production for it. So more protein sources for our animals. For our audience, please share the video if you learned something new today, like I'm doing. On that sense. So, Dr. Chin, following this, I'm just a little bit curious about it. How does canola compare with being an oil seed with some of those anti-nutritional factors, like, for example, soybeans have that, of course, you know, once you go into crushing, you could degrade them and denature them. And if people are using full fat soybean meal, you have to cook them to the right level. But can you share us a little bit more about your knowledge and your comparison and just to learn a little bit more about that?
Yeah, there are some added nutritional factors in canola meal. Phytate acid is around 2%. It's not big concern compared to the other plant source protein. Tannin below 1.5%. Tannin and compared to sorghums, you know, some varieties, they have low tannin content. Some sorghum has very high content for tannin content. And back to the old days, when we was a kid, we went to the field, we found if we go into the sorghum field, we always see some a puppet like the human being, wear the clothes. Those are used for the protection, for the crop against the birds. So high content for tannins don't need these techniques to scare away the birds. The birds knows.
They know.
They identify which crop they has high tannin content. But for canola meal, very low tannin content. Sinopin is below 1%. For those and nutritional factors, outstanding is still a glucosinate content.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to others protein source, there are no concerns of glucosinates. But we have to we do have knowledge about the glucosinates. It's natural component came from pounding plants. Around over 130 glucosinates has been found. But at the moment we are only the technology allow us only detect or mirror around 8 to 9 components of the glucosinates. From a canola meal and a conventional rapeseed meal, we can see the difference of glucosinate content, the compositions, the percentage which component take off.
Okay.
We can differentiate, even we don't see the sample, the bi-glucosinate components. And for canola meal, never become a concern of glucosinates.
Okay.
Yes, there's any nutritional factors, not a huge problem. If we have the inclusions as a study we have found, we never see the problems come from any nutrition factors. The other way, we have to mention about some special nutrient we didn't give them attention before. We haven't figured out what's the reason this crop have high content of phosphorus. That's just because of the region we produce, because the soil type, or dark soil or brown soil, or just a variety. They are able to enrich some macronutrients or micronutrients. For example, phosphorus.
Okay.
In canola meal, over 1%. Of phosphorus, the natural resources we can collect.
Natural.
We realize the values if we have the knowledge how to use it. But 35% to 40% is phytate phosphorus. But if we have using a good phytase, we can deliberate the phytate phosphorus become available.
To become available, yes.
In pigs, we could go up to 65% or 70% of available force combined with phytase. That means if we have 10% of the canola meal in the diet, you can imagine how much we can have the natural phosphorus.
Yeah.
And reduce the dical or monocal usage in the diet.
And I think that's something that spin millers need to consider, and nutritionists, of course, because when you're trying to, we all know that the purchase of feed ingredients is 60 to 70% the cost of buying feed. So I put my head as a feed miller on that. So very interesting and all that. And then of course, for our audience, please visit our site, wisenetics.com, and learn more about all our podcast segments like poultry, swine, dairy, beef, this one, of course, feed manufacturing and pet food. Dr. Chen, I think that's something that a lot of us are always very curious about. Why does Canada grow more canola and Australia compared to grow soybeans? You know, because I know there's always a yield perspective per hectare or acre, whatever the unit is of land. But since I know you have a lot of knowledge, what would be your opinion on that?
First, the farmers growing canola is for oil. Now, the oil, the quality, and the composition is good for the health. And the demand for canola oil drive the canola productions. In terms of the acreage in Canada, especially the prairie areas, those west, three provinces in the west, we already use up most of our arable land, take the rotation to get the potential for canola productions. Okay. And the industry takes extra actions or moments to try to improve the efficiency. And with the similar the acreage to produce the more, which means increase the yield per acre. And we have seen lots of action has been taken to through the variety development, through agronomy practice, try to eliminate the natural risks, natural resources usage, and meantime to keep a similar yield or even increase the yield, make the industry more sustainable and efficient. And rest of the world, like Australia, they also produce very good quality of canola, but the limitations there, you need the land space. Mm-hmm. And also year by year, the practice the farmers has been experienced or accumulated.
Yeah, because as you said, I mean, it's 1970, even that we put it in perspective, it's been 50 years. But when you compare other crops that have been grown for 100, 150 in this same type of land. So very interesting. And so I, of course, a lot of very good knowledge and information. Any other technical comment or something that you want to share with us on canola meal? For the feed industry?
So once we try to get the value for canola meal, my advice or suggestions to nutritionists or feed industry professionals, first, we have to validate the knowledge about the canola meal and get off their mindset, which has been stay 20 years, 15 years ago. Validate the nutritional profile. That's the first measure we have to be taking. Moisture content, we claim on labels as less than 12%, but the actual moisture levels is between 6 to 8, and most is 10%, which means we lost about between 6 to 5% of nutrients we consider as moisture.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, second is protein profile. Label claims minimum 36%, but actually between 37 to 40%. And also we have to capture the fluctuation by the year because the weather is a huge factor to impact on the nutrient profile as well. Dry seasons, protein in canola meal could be up over 40%. Mm-hmm. So once we measure the protein content, because the composition of amino acid in protein is fixed, and then we can capture the values of amino acids and multiply by digestibility cofactors, and we can get the SID value for amino acids, either for poultry and swine.
Okay. Well, just before you move from the protein to fiber, I have a question that pops up in my mind.
Yeah.
You know, on the soybean meal side, they always, right now, people are you saying, hey, try to formulate based on the amino acid profile of soybeans. Can you tell us a little bit more about that amino acid essential amino acid profiles of canola? So, you know, so people out there that are thinking about using it can have it in perspective.
Yes. Canola protein level is lower than soybean meal. It's 38%. Label claim minimum 36. In protein, amino acid profiles, normally we see lower lysine, but higher sulfur. Okay. Amino acids, for example, methionine, cysteines, compared to soybean meals, up to higher, up to about 0.2% or 0.25%, which means around 40% higher than soybean meal, which makes the difference as a soybean meal when you look at different species.
Oh, okay.
That's the major difference. Histines, arginines, which to the ruminant animals, we also see the difference as well. But for species, digestibility coefficient, quite different. We have to go the crude protein and you get the percentage of each amino acid, multiply the digestibility, which give the real value of amino acid profile.
Okay, good. No, this is very important information, and I'm pretty sure our audience wants to learn a little bit about that. So please continue there talking about fiber now.
Yeah, fiber in canola meal, total dietary fiber is up to 38% out of 10. The major proportion is NSPs, as around 22% out of total dietary fiber, which means remind us use good multi-carbohydrates enzyme, which we can get the benefit from this NSPs. And another thing is NDF, in the total fiber is 28%. There's difference between how are we to evaluate this NDF. And that become very complicated for ruminant animals. Why we always underestimate the canola meal value? Two things for ruminants. One is the bypass protein evaluation. NRC only given the 43%, but if we utilize the system developed by University of Cornell, called NCPCS, that system by the end give us 53% of the bypass proteins. Difference is how are we going to evaluate the soluble fiber which come from canola meal.
Okay.
And remember, if we try to get most of the value of canola meal, phosphorus, macronutrient, we cannot ignore that.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing is we have to remember how to balance iron cation balance, because higher sulfur amino acids, almost 0.7% of the sulfur from a canola meal, which impact the iron cation balance. And it's only ingredients among the plant source, canola meal has a negative value of the iron cation balance. We're keeping that in mind, balance out the minerals. And the other two micronutrients we didn't pay attention before. One is selenium,
mm-hmm.
1 ppm selenium, natural source for canola meal. But we don't know the bioavailability at the moment. Some studies is going on to figure out how much selenium from the canola meal we can utilize. We now natural source, or we call it organic selenium. If we using organic source of selenium, $2.50, and then with the added, the selenium bring up to 0.3 ppm. That's what we normally have in the diet.
We were really excited to see what will be the outcome of this research.
Yeah, I keep updating. I keep very close eyes on that study.
That's great. That's great.
Another nutrient is choline. Choline from canola meal, 6,700 ppm choline, which is enriched. As a nutrition, we always look into the added nutrient. But we are in a trend now back to the basic. How are we going to use natural source, the nutrient from the ingredient, instead of just NR.
Yeah.
And after the nutrient profile, I would also like to mention about the priority. If we just have limited resource for canola meal, which species we should go first?
Yeah.
Dairy, ruminant can capture the most value of canola meal. And I called it a preferred protein source for ruminants.
Okay.
And for agricultures, which we is not a big industry in North America, but in some parts of the world, it's become huge. They also can look into the benefit from canola meal and cause default protein source for agricultures, because the industry get used to use it, even as a tradition. It become a convention, like just canola meal in monogastric diets. This
wow.
The cheaper source of protein for agricultures, not just in herbivorous species, omnivorous species, and also a small portion in the carnivorous species, using as partial replacement of fish meal, combined with soybean meal sometimes, and in for herbivores of the species, use a canola meal replace some parts of soybean meal. And then we now move to swine. The benefits we can most realize is in the sows and the nursery pigs.
Okay, and that's very important for our monogastric audience to know that. So
yeah, I'm excited. I learned through those years.
Yeah, no, I it looks like it, and we're very happy on that. And so share us a little bit the comments there on the poultry also, because I think a lot of our audience, especially in Latin America, Brazil, are poultry producers.
Yes. For poultry, we have looked at the cost, really, because it's low in poultry. Normally for broilers, use high protein diets and high energy.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to other sources of plant proteins, canola meal did not get very much advantages with energy level, energy value, and the protein and amino acids, because it's short, it's lower in lysines and lower, except higher sulfur amino acids. The rest of the amino acid profile not compatible or compete with soybean meals, but still better than some other. We really have to look at least costing if they're taken.
Good. And I was taking notes on it, by the way.
The baseline, we have to update nutrient profile and the system and realize the values that the system, for example, at least costing, if we are not considering some micronutrients, energy, amino acids profile, it normally won't take in the canola meal for monogastric.
Great, perfect. And I know we're having a great conversation, and I'm learning, the audience, I'm pretty sure they're learning too. So for our audience, please subscribe to the channel, click on the bell to receive our notifications.
It's time for our famous three.
Evonik Animal Nutrition is committed to ensure food security and safety while reducing the ecological footprint of animal farming. Its products and services use evidence-based solutions that seek to promote animal welfare and reduce reliance on natural resources. All this is underpinned by long-standing industry partnerships and deep customer understanding. Evonik's focus on efficiency, sustainable, healthy nutrition, and collaborations with livestock farming partners creates value for customers and consumers.
Going back, I think this is very good information. There's a whole world to know for us, more knowledgeable on other animal protein sources. Having your experience in canola definitely helps for our audience to learn. So based on that, as we're coming to the end of this podcast, can you please recommend our audience what would be your favorite book or technical resources that people can use to learn more about canola?
This is the book.
Okay.
Every 4 years, we validate the data, and in the most recent research findings and the data in this book, we call Canola Meal Feeding Guide. It's published in English, Spanish, Vietnamese, and Mandarin.
This is a great opportunity.
You can download this book from Canola Council of Canada website.
Great. And I'm taking notes, because I'm definitely going to download it now.
Okay, I'll send it to you by the email.
Please, thank you. As we finalize, any other book that you might recommend our audience outside of your expertise and anything related to life? Also, you know, we're here to also teach other things besides agriculture. Any other book that you might want to recommend?
Yeah, I would like to recommend the nutrient tables from INRA. They keep updating the nutrient profile and also some other parameters they are keep adding. For example, nitrogen output. That is another the measurement we probably in the future we have to take into consideration. And carbon dioxide output as well as the gas emission equivalent. I believe feeding grains in the future, once we are put into the market, is carry the feature of the impact to environment as the sustainability promise. LCA, life cycle assessment values, is going to become soon, I think.
Very important. I do agree with that. So with that, this has been a great podcast. A lot of good information, but I want to thank you very much for joining us, Dr. Ching, today. And with that, that concludes another episode of our Feed Science podcast presented by Wisenetics. Thank you for joining us today. Please don't forget to subscribe to our podcast to stay updated on future episodes. And if you have enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review. This is very important for us, because your feedback is very invaluable. Until next time, this is Carlos Campabadal from the Feed Science Podcast signing off. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent from Brazil without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on more $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.